We so appreciate you and Lois May. Beautiful. Take your Bible, please, and open it to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. While you're turning, I want to welcome the throngs of you that are sharing this hour on the internet. You're now part of the evening service of the South Heights Baptist Church. This is the pastor bringing the evening message from Revelation 18. Remember, chapters 17 and 18 are parenthetical chapters. They are jammed in the section of Scripture here, and they're not in chronological order. They introduce to us two systems called Babylon. One in chapter 17 is religious Babylon. Now, why the word Babylon? Well, you know, Babylon was a nation in the Old Testament that was totally godless. Right? Totally godless. And whenever we see that word Babylon, we immediately think, if you know about the original Babylon, the godlessness of that nation. And this describes the godlessness of the economic system in chapter 18 and the religious system in chapter 17. Praise the Lord, both will be destroyed. Okay? And this is the last of the seven bowl judgments. There are three sets of seven judgments that commence at the tribulation, when the tribulation begins. The rapture occurs, we are caught away, the tribulation begins. Seven seals open into seven trumpet judgments, into seven bowl judgments. Each of the individual judgments gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and this is the final one. Now, last week, we learned a lesson from chapter 18, and we're going to see it again tonight very briefly, and then we're going to move into the last half of the chapter. Folks, if I don't get anything else out through my voice tonight, we need to remember one thing, and boys and girls, look at me very carefully. You need this too. You and I need to learn to be very careful not to allow money and the things that money can buy to cause us to lose sight of Jesus. That is one of the most important lessons you or I can ever learn. We must never allow money or the things that money can buy to cause us to take our eyes off of Jesus, because that is very easy to do. Money and the things that money can buy will cause you, if you're not careful, to take your eyes off what's important. Amen, grown-ups? All right. Let's begin reading in verse 1. I'll make a few comments as we go, not many because I don't know how far we can get. We're going to try to read through verse 20 quickly. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. This is probably Jesus Christ. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily, that means he shouted with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, that means demons, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now he's talking about the destruction of religious Babylon. When the rapture occurs, Christianity, or let's call it Christendom, okay? Because not everybody who is a member of a church is a saved person. Christendom, professing Christianity, will have become a disgusting mess in the sight of God. Notice he says, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Have you ever had an occasion to go into a cave, like Merrimack Caverns or, one of those out there or up in Missouri, you have Merrimack Caverns. Y'all know what bat guano is? This is bats that don't have anybody to clean up after them. Birds in cages are just like that. They eat, sleep, and they make messes. And I find it interesting that God talks about in the end of the church age and into the one world religion of the Antichrist. The world religions will be likened to birds in a cage that are making nothing but a mess. That's pretty nasty, isn't it? Well, it will be nasty, spiritually nasty. The hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Prior to the rapture, Christendom will not be just glorious and wonderful, and there'll be wonderful revivals, and everything will be fabulous spiritually, and then Jesus will take us away. The old timers 100 years ago believed that. They believed that they could literally preach in the kingdom of Christ. They believed that they could preach and the world would get saved and everybody would get, it would be just fabulous, be giant revival worldwide, and then Jesus would come. Then World War I happened. Then World War II happened. And then it became patently obvious to anybody who was willing to look that things are, and especially scripturally, things are really not going to get better. They're going to get worse. Now, I'm not being negative or pessimistic. That's biblical. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I mean, folks, you can't go anywhere, anywhere in America tonight and not be assaulted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Y'all aware of this? If you're not, where have you been? You can't go anywhere. It's on the television, it's on the radio, it's on the internet, it's in print, it's on the dadgum billboards. Can you say dadgum in a Baptist church? It's on the cotton picking to get billboards. It's everywhere. Just, I remember years, now this is going to date me. Years ago, there was a motel in Tulsa, big fancy motel, the Village Inn Motel, I think. And they put up a giant billboard on the Skelly Bypass, of a woman at the pool, you know, wearing a swimsuit, where her belly button was showing. And listen, there was so much furor. Now this was 55 years ago. Yesterday for me, right? Some of us, 55 years ago, just the other day. And there was so much furor, not from the churches, not from, but from the secular public. This is how bad our secular society has become. They put her in a onesie. They repainted it over a belly button. Now our culture is, and you've heard me if you've been here very long. I talk about our culture being an upholstered cesspool. It's even air conditioned. I mean, it's upholstered. It's air conditioned, and we've even got everything else we want. But it's just spiraling into the pit. And it's going to get so bad culturally that Bible-believing, Christ-honoring Christians are going to become abnormalities when compared with the rest of the culture. We were at the store yesterday. Saw a family dressed modestly. And you know what my grandkids said? Look! There's people dressed nice. I said, you mean normal people? Normal people? They're hard to find. Now, I'm not talking about, wearing black clothes from your wrists to your ankles and driving black cars with no chrome and having your hair up in a beehive hair. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about people that are not dressed immodestly. That's getting hard to find. Unbelievable. I want to go up to these people and say, thank you for being normal. Normal. Everything's becoming upside down. And it will get so bad that we will be screaming for Christ to come, begging for it. And when he does, literally all hell will break loose. Hell's already in control. You know that? But it's hindered. You know, the devil's like a pit bull on a chain. I mean, a mad pit bull. And when he gets loose, he's going to tear everything up. And for 7 years, oh, he'll be nice for a first half. For 7 years, he's just going to, you know, plan the destruction of Israel. And he's going to come to the end, and listen, he's going to come to the end of everything that he's been planning for thousands of years. And rightly so. Amen? Well, I just thought of that when I thought of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her government-run church. And the merchants of the earth are waxed, become rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now this is a call to the tribulation saints to don't live like the lost around you. And folks, that applies to us as well, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Why? For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. God's going to have had enough. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Now, here's the total economic collapse. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. Now, it's going to happen on a certain day. It doesn't mean in a 24-hour period. It means in one specific day, it's gone, because down here it's going to say it happened in an hour. Now the ripples of that will happen over a day, but it's going to be fast, folks. Death, mourning, famine shall be, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For, don't you love this? Strong is the Lord God, who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth which have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. They're not going to repent. They're just going to be sad that, you know, they've lost everything. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, they don't want to get burned too, saying, alas, alas, what's going on? They're frustrated. That great city Babylon, that's the entire world political, economic system and religious system. That mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, not their sins, but over the loss of what they want, what they love. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Friend, listen, all the businessmen are interested in is selling you stuff. They don't care whether it destroys your life or not, drug dealers included. They don't care. I could be funny, but I won't. I could say there's a lot of things that they sell us that we buy that they know are just junk, right? Just junk. And they've got to be laughing at us when we buy those things. Ever go to the fair, Tulsa State Fair, and you go in that building where they're selling all that junk, and you get that junk, and you get home and it breaks or it falls apart. Then you go to Lowe's or Home Depot and find out they sold it to you for five times what you could have bought it for at the store. And they're just laughing. But they're not laughing now. They're going to weep and mourn, verse 11 says, over losing everything. Verse 12 gives us 23 items that basically just tell us that this is going to be a worldwide affair. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, thyine wood, vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels most precious wood, bronze or brass, iron, marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts and sheep, horses and chariots, slaves, and notice the souls of men. Folks, the economic system will have stooped so low that people will be considered animals, property. Worthless. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all goods which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. All those things, folks, that we thought were important, here's the lesson in that. All the things that we think are important, humanly speaking, are going to one day be gone. And all that you'll have left is the person of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, and the written Word of God you hid in your heart. Nothing else will matter. Nothing. Oh yeah, we get to heaven, we'll have a mansion and all. But I'm talking about in this life, if everything is taken from you, if you have the living Word in your heart and the written Word hidden in your heart, you are incredibly rich. Rich beyond compare. And you will have the resources, spiritual resources, to survive the trials of life. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, economic system. We thought it'd never fail. That was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught or nothing. Now notice the transportation companies will be destroyed. Every shipmaster and all the company and ships, sailors, as many as trade by sea, they stood afar off. And when they saw the smoke of her burning, they cried, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And again, this is the picture of the economic system. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. All heaven rejoices over this. Can cross-reference this with Romans 12:19. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Now, what does that teach us? Again, let me repeat it. We're to hold lightly those things of the earth, for very soon they will be taken away. Y'all ever seen this bumper sticker that says, the guy that dies with the most toys wins? Y'all ever seen that? The guy that dies with the most toys wins? No, friends, the guy that dies with Jesus wins. The guy that dies with the most toys without Jesus loses. By the way, when you die, it's all gone anyway. It's still here. Years ago, there were two little boys, and Grandpa was rich. And Grandpa put all of his money in a strong box and put it in the attic above his sick room. And he told his boys, when I die, I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to grab it as I go up to heaven, and I'm going to take it with me. Well, Grandpa got sicker, and he died. And after the funeral, and they had him buried a few days later, boys got to thinking about that thing Grandpa had said. So they climbed in the attic, couldn't find a key, climbed in the attic, they got a crowbar, they busted the lock off of the unopened chest, and they opened it up, and all of that money was still there. You know what one of the little boys said? I guess Grandpa went the other way. He didn't take it. Listen, if Grandpa went up, he did not take it with him. You have to enter heaven, you have to be spiritually rich toward God. That means you have to know Jesus as your Savior. We are not promised health and wealth and prosperity in the Bible, but we are promised that if we strive to live a godly life, we shall suffer. And suffering for Christ is something that you don't hear many preachers talk about anymore. They want you to think it's just going to be wonderful. All you got to do is just trust God, follow God, do this, that, or the other, send them $20 and whatever, and you're going to be fine. Everything's just going to be wonderful. I got news for you. The moment that you start walking the narrow path, you'll begin to lose friends, you'll begin to lose family, you might even lose your job, and friend, it's coming a day in this country, you may even lose your life. Have you been watching what's going on in Canada? Have you been watching what's going on in Canada? To pastors and churches, the government is taking over the church buildings to try to and locking them and arresting and fining people if they go to church. All the while, we have a nation full of professing Christians who just are so thrilled that they've got their fire insurance and they're sitting around on their blessed assurance doing nothing for Christ and thinking it's just going to go on like always. Alas, alas. We thought it'd always go on this way. And one day God's going to take it away and it'll be too late. The church doors will be bolted shut. There will be fences around the churches. And by the way, lest you think that's something that's going to be rare and not possible in modern society, go to the website for the group called, in Bartlesville, called, the name just flipped out of my head, Voice of the Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs. People are being killed for Jesus this very hour in the modern world in which we live. It's coming. It's coming. And all that God promises us, and I say all, the only thing that God promises is all we need, and that's Himself. And He promises to give us grace to bear it through the suffering. If you, the Bible says you're going to live for Jesus, all who live godly shall suffer. And you don't hear much, as I said, about that, especially from modern preachers. But the thing you've got to learn is that we must remember that money and the things that money can buy are not what's important. They are temporary. Now, the seven bowl judgments conclude with a judgment on the godless music industry, all manufacturing, all food processing, all energy, and even love itself. Notice in verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. You all know what a millstone is? A millstone looks like a great big hockey puck with a hole in the middle. It's huge. And they use it to grind wheat. Now, it's not a millstone, but it reminds him of one. And these guys, people who read this, would know what that is. He took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon, the commercial Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Notice, and the voice of harpers, people that play harps, musicians, pipers, that's wind instruments, trumpeters also, shall be heard, notice, no more at all in thee, the earth. And no craftsman, whatsoever craft he shall be found any more in thee. All industry will stop. The wheels of industry will grind to a halt. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all. All food industry will end. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Energy will end. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all. Even human love will die. Let's talk briefly about this, and then before we conclude. First, let's talk about music. There are two standards for music, only two. God's standard and the world's standard, right? God's standard and the world's standard. You know that over in Ezekiel, we find that Lucifer, before he left heaven, was the music director in heaven. Did you know that? He ran the music ministry in heaven. Who better, by the way, knows how to counterfeit the real thing than Satan, who was in charge of it? And he was kicked out of heaven, I think partly because he thought what he was doing was more important than what God was doing, the Word of God, and therefore his ego got built up and God kicked him out along with a bunch of his cohorts. And friend, if you know anything about what's going on in modern churches tonight, you know that the typical church musician, whether you can read music or not is not an issue, but there are churches tonight, big churches, one in North Dallas that seats 7,000 people, in Frisco actually, Texas, that hired a guy to head their music ministry who cannot read a note, but he plays guitar really well. This whole thing that's going on in the church music ministries is a complete secularization of sacred music. You understand what I'm saying? We are seeing the culture change the church instead of the church change the culture. You say, well, that's never happened before. Sure it has. I can name for you that a time when nearly every schoolboy and schoolgirl would know, even in a secular school, that this is true, if they've got a decent teacher at all. Prior to 1776 in America, the pulpits of America were on fire with the Word of God. Did you know this? People like Whitfield and others. And God lit a fire of liberty in the hearts of the people in the pews as he set fire the pulpits of this land. And as a result, you know, and by the way, our liberty in America is based on the liberty we have in Jesus Christ. And they literally caused the culture to completely transform through the Word of God. The culture was changed by the church, and America was born. Now, if you don't think that's a miracle of God, you got something wrong with you. And if that doesn't excite you to think that the Word of God could change an entire nation for Jesus Christ, you know, the clapper in your bell is missing. You think about that. The Word of God, friend, can change a life. It can also change a family. It can also change a church. It can change a city. It can change a state. It can even change a nation, yea, the whole world. Now, when it comes to music, God's standard for music is the melody should be preeminent. The harmony should be, you know, right in the middle, and the rhythm should be in strict control. The devil's counterfeit of that is the opposite. The rhythm is predominant. The melody's down here in the bottom somewhere, if it has melody at all. And the harmony might be there if it has any at all. And listen carefully, boys and girls, especially. Any music that has rhythm as its number one component is sensual music, no matter what the words are. Is my voice completely failed? Any music that has rhythm. Now, what do you mean by rhythm? What I mean rhythm is the part that moves the music. Now, you got to have it or you sing a giant whole note, right? You got to have rhythm. But anything where you're hearing, you know, when that is the primary part of the music, whether the words are right out of the Bible or not, that sensualizes the listener. And it is ungodly music. It is the devil's counterfeit, and it will not grow you spiritually. It will make you a spiritual pygmy. And that's why 99% of the music being played and sung in churches in America today is sensual and wrong, and because it's worldly, it feeds the flesh, and it dries you up spiritually and makes you think you're spiritual. All the while, you are a big fat zero in the eyes of God spiritually. You're welcome. And we are watching this. We are watching this. A good friend of mine was resigned from a big Baptist church in a county seat town near here because the pastor decided, I learned a long time ago, that most preachers don't know anything about music. They don't know anything about music. I'm one of the few that has any musical background at all. I also learned a long time ago, most music people don't know, leaders don't know anything about the Bible. And these pastors see these Rick Warren types. You know who I'm talking about? Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, Promise Keepers, all that garbage. By the way, that church ordained three women to be pastors this past week. One of the biggest Southern Baptist churches in the world. And Rick Warren, where he's the pastor, Saddleback Church, they ordained three women just the other day to be pastors. Does that bother anybody besides me? It ought to. Well, it doesn't bother them. Because they long ago, the Bible in those churches like that, the Bible was burned in effigy. They don't care what it says. They're going to do what they want. This is preparing mankind for the one world religion of the Antichrist. And Warren and all these guys are the people who really started pushing for this secularization of church music. And if you say anything about it, Why, if you dare point this out, somebody sees this on the internet, you know what they do? Well, there's something wrong with you. A fellow was telling me before church that somebody saw his magnetic bumper sticker. Had a scripture about hell and judgment and damnation. And I think it was Derek. And this person said, don't you think that scares people? Well, maybe. My response is, did it bother you? If it does, you know, before I nailed my salvation down, any preaching on the second coming scared me to death. Till I realized, till I got my salvation, you know, in my mind, and, you know, I was young when I got saved, so I was a teenager, and the thing about the second coming just scared me. Until the Lord nailed it down, yes, you were saved, and then, hey, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not scared of that at all. And if you, back to our music thing, listen, if you think for one moment that a holy God, a holy, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy God is blessed and honored and is honored and gets glory from most of the music in the modern church today, because, you know, this sensual, carnal music by its very nature, if you think God gets glory in that, you're deceived. And the Bible says God's going to end all that one day. And the only music we're going to have is that which glorifies Him. That which has melody as it. By the way, that doesn't mean it's going to all be church hymns. Did you know this? Any music that the words are honoring God, and the music honors the Lord, will be is acceptable in the life of the believer. For example, John Philip Sousa, the great March King, you know, Stars and Stripes Forever, songs like that. Did you know on the night or two before he died, he was talking with some other musicians, and he asked this famous composer whom he was with, do you think that it's possible to write good music without inspiration from God? And the guy, they talked about it, and Sousa said, I don't think it's possible. There has to be a divine interjection in order for me to be able to write good music. And friend, that's true. There has to be divine interaction for there to be great art, great music, great writing, great anything. God has to be in charge. And that's why when you go and look at school buildings from 125 years ago, man, these are beautiful structures. County courthouses. Go down in Texas, where they hadn't torn them all down. Oklahoma, we tear them all down. But they got these beautiful schools and courthouses. Fabulous facilities. Because they had a divine intervention in their, you know, in the hearts of the people who were putting that together. All industry will end. All energy will end. And now, why is that? Why would God end all energy? Because He is the source of light. He is the source of all light. We won't need a candle, the Bible says. We won't need a flashlight. We won't need solar panels. And we sure won't need these giant airplanes that are on sticks out here on the high plains, flopping, you know, chopping birds into pieces. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, that don't pay for themselves. God is the source of all life. He is the source of all light. And He is the source of everything we need. And in His kingdom, see, He's setting them up for the millennial kingdom and the eternal kingdom. That, you know, the millennial kingdom doesn't really end, right? It lasts for 1,000 years here, and it fades into eternity future. We're going to have Jesus, and that's all we need. That's all we're going to need. And so we're not going to need industry. We're not going to need a music industry. We're going to have real heaven-sent music. I can't wait for that. 10,000 voice choir, 2,000 piece orchestra, and the biggest pipe organ you've ever seen, played by Johann Sebastian Bach. I'm not kidding. And get this, it'll all be in tune. You won't have some poor guitar player over there with his capo on, you know, playing in the wrong key. It'll all be in tune. It'll be glorious, beautiful, fabulous. And we'll get to do that for several thousand years. And then we'll change to another song. Can you imagine? It's not possible for you and I to contemplate it. I mean, we can barely glimpse it, right? But to be able to just think about it is my, it'll blow your head up. Energy will end. Why? Because Jesus will be our energy. Even human love, it says here, will end. You know, love, no one can give you a definition of love, human love. No one can give you an adequate definition of love. Somebody defined love as an outward expression of an inward all-overishness. An outward expression of an inward all-overishness. That's about as accurate as anybody else. Love is a feeling. Human love is part of our fallen nature. Listen, true love is when God sent His Son to die on our behalf on a cross and be buried and raised again for our justification. That is true love. Amen. Even human love will be obliterated. Now, folks, all that's going to remain will be that which honors God and His Word and His Son. And everything that man has placed in the place of God in his life will be gone. Gone. Well, notice verse 18 again, quickly. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And then these folks are lost. They're not going to figure it out until it's too late. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Heaven's going to rejoice in verse 29. And verse 21 says, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. That means just like that. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all, earthly music in the earth. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft shall be found any more in thee, and shall the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more. No more food processing. Why? Because the Word of God is our food. We're going to feed on the Word of God. Amen? Don't need all the stuff that we have now. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Now, why? The word for tells us why. God is going to give us three reasons why He is going to destroy the economic Babylon. I want to give them to you quickly in the moments we have left. Number one, if you're taking notes, because the businessmen will have exalted themselves and their money above God. The businessmen will have exalted themselves and their money above God. Look at verse 23 and a half. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Do you think that the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Bill Gateses and all the others of this materialistic, carnalistic, evil, wicked business world in which we live are going to get by with what they're doing? Not hardly. Folks, the modern businessman does not seek to improve your life. He seeks to enslave you, make you addicted to his product. And I'm not just talking about, you know, drugs and all that. I'm talking to folks, there are people. We were talking about this, and it's easy. There are people who cannot. We were at lunch today, and we were at a table here. Now, why do restaurants put TVs on the wall? Have you ever wondered that? Why do they put a TV on the wall? I mean, aren't you supposed to be there to enjoy the food? People behind me. There's another, you know, these, when we go, it's kind of like, you know, when our family, our youngest son and his family, and you know, there's four of us and there's 500 of them, and how many they got. And when we show up, you know, they have to clear out a whole section of the building. And right behind us was a whole table of folk. You know what they were doing? I'm not, you know, I don't, my daughter-in-law's in the nursery. Hopefully she won't hear this. I thought they were doing what they often do, which is go, why do they have all them kids? My friend, the Duggars, you know, have 19 kids, and they got this. They get this all the time. Pray for them, by the way. Pray for them. And I thought, you know, these people in the benches behind the seats, they were turning around, looking. You know, I figured out, found out later, they weren't looking at us. They were looking at the TV on the wall. You know what was on the wall? Softball. OU and OSU playing softball. Women's Bedlam softball. Girl can't pitch. You know, she doesn't. So what? And they spent, am I telling the truth, Seth? They sat there the whole time staring past us watching television. A ball game. It's easy to get addicted to these little things. They're handy and they're a good tool, especially when it's dark and you can't find a light switch. That's handy. That's the best thing on your phone. But they can be addicting. Video games are addicting. I got hooked up on video games when I was in college. We had a video. Now, kids, you're not going to believe this. But video games when I was 18 years old were as big as this pulpit. And they had a big hood that came up like this and a TV screen. And we put a quarter in and we moved our handle and we heard it go. Before that, we had them. We could hook up to the TV and we could watch this dot go doing, 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 doing. And I got hooked on that thing. I was down at the student unit at the university all the time playing this thing when I wasn't in class till I realized what I was doing. Now, why did that happen? Because the people that make those machines want you to get addicted to it, so you'll put money in it. They don't care about you. And kids that grow up, this has been scientifically proved, kids that grow up living, having, moving and having their being around a video screen, whether it's one of these or a computer or a TV set, their minds don't develop correctly, if they develop at all. And if you don't believe that, go to Walmart. Businessmen do not care about your mental stability. They don't care about your health. Listen, the drug dealers do not care. They just want your money. And God's going to send judgment on all that. And these folks think they're accountable to nobody. But God's going to judge them one day. The second reason why the economic system will be destroyed by God is found at the end of verse 23. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now that word sorcery, of course, has to do with witchcraft. You know that. By the way, grown-ups, do not let your kids, and don't you either, play with Ouija boards, tarot cards, fortune telling, hypnosis. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, Parker Brothers makes Ouija boards, aren't they? Doesn't matter who makes them. You're dealing with the demonic, and you need to stay away from it. But when he says sorceries, he's not just talking about witchcraft. And by the way, there's a lot of witchcraft in kids' TV programs and in a lot of those games they play. But also the occult and mind manipulation. Television is filled with this. Movies are filled with mind manipulation. Computer games. Listen, we've got kids who blow up people, and the graphics are amazing. I mean, they can play on these games where they actually just shred people with machine guns and see all the gore, and they don't have a problem with it. We're becoming desensitized. But also, of course, there are things like mind-altering drugs, heroin, cocaine, and so forth. And when you look at the lives that have been ruined by witchcraft and the occult and secular humanism, amen, which is a religion, critical race theory, thank God for a governor in Oklahoma who would, thank for a legislature had enough sense to say, we don't want that in our state. And a governor who had enough sense to sign it. It is now illegal to teach our kids in the public school what's called critical race theory. If you don't know what that is, praise the Lord, you're blessed. But it's out there. And when you look at all of those things, don't forget that nicotine, tobacco, is a drug. Alcohol is a drug. And I've not looked into this CBD stuff yet and had time. But I got a sneaking suspicion based upon how they're trying to force it on our people. There's something wrong with it. Anything that the world thinks is good and wonderful and fabulous, there's got to be something you ought to be careful about. I mean, I swung by. I got half the car off the street just long enough to see the 59 DeSoto, and it went on. You know, one with the giant fins. Neat looking car. Harrison went, ooh, and Brenda went, eh. You only got fins this high. But it's got to be something. Why do we have in this town, how many we got? 10, 20 of those places where you can get them? There's got to be something going on. Because the merchants, if it's good for you, the merchants of this world are not interested in that. There's a third reason. I don't know. I'm going to look into that. I'll let you know what I find out. There's a third reason, lastly, why God's going to destroy the economic system, and that's the blood of believers which will be shed by them of those who would not go along with them because they murdered people who would not follow along. Look at that verse again, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Go back and look at the persecution of Bible-believing Christians over the past centuries by governments, by religions, all of which were financed by godless men. Look at Nazi Germany. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Look at Nazi Germany, by the way, which was steeped in the occult and humanism. Look at communist Russia, communist China. Folks, listen, Red China. You know why we call it Red China? Because they're communists. We are financing our own enemy every time we go to Walmart and buy something from China. We are financing their, you know, the Bible we just read a few weeks ago, that God's going to open up dry up the Euphrates River, right? So the kings of the East can march in. And we're paying for the tanks. They're building their tanks out of our scrap metal. We're financing Red China. And they're not going to get away with it. You're going to look at all of the Castro, Pol Pot, you name it. But during the tribulation, it'll be worse than any time. God, you know, I can't remember the name of the fellow who said this. I'll think of it after we're through. In Nazi Germany, he said, when the Nazis came for the Jews, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Jew. And he went through all of the different groups that the Nazis came for. And when they finally came, I didn't say anything on any of these because I wasn't one of them. And when they came for me, nobody said anything. You know why? There wasn't anybody left to say nothing. That's what's happening. And that's, you know, and it's all over the world. Oppression of God's people is escalating. And it's not just sociological, although that's where it's going on right here in America. It's going to get worse. And we better be ready spiritually. We better have our spiritual armor on. And you better be sure that you got Smith and Wesson on your side. Because it's coming. Praise the Lord, we have someone on our side that's better than that. I was being facetious, but not quite. And that's Jesus. And we ought to pray for the tribulation saints that will be persecuted by the Antichrist and the false prophet and the one world economic system when they won't take the mark of the beast. We ought to pray for them. Well, now at the end of chapter 18, the seventh bowl judgment ends. Now in chapter 19, we're going to see as all of this comes together next week and how it's all going to come to an end. And like I've said so many times, I've read the back of the book and our side wins. Our side wins. Well, let's pray.